In association with For Whom the Cowbell Tolls.com, Mississippi State's SB Nation site, this is For Whom the Podcast Tolls. And now, Daniel Black and Ethan Lee.
Hey there, folks, and welcome to another episode of For Whom the Podcast Tolls here on January 26, 2016. This is the official podcast for Whom the Cowbell Tolls.com, Mississippi State's SB Nation site. I'm Daniel Black, writer for Whom the Cowbell Tolls, and joining me is fellow For Whom the Cowbell Tolls writer, Ethan Lee. Hello, Ethan.
How's it going?
You know, I'm just fine on a special episode number 40. Woo!
Yay!
Yahoo!
We haven't been kicked off yet?
No.
Even though we kind of produce the show ourselves.
Yeah.
We haven't been kicked off by anybody.
We have not been kicked off by ourselves, is what you're saying.
Yeah.
Or Justin, or people.
So, I mean, we talked about this a little bit before the, we had problems.
Yeah, we had problems.
Technical difficulties. If you're out there, Justin, and listening to the show, unless you're driving at the moment,
tweet us.
Please tweet us.
Just say hi or something.
Or anybody listening to the show, just tweet us and say hi.
Yeah. Anyways, let's talk about... So, we're going to talk about some good stuff today. Guess what happened on Saturday, Ethan?
What happened on Saturday?
We beat Ole Miss! Yeah, all right.
For the first time in a little while in men's sports, I mean, women's sports, women's basketball particularly, we've been winning. We're undefeated against Ole Miss in 2016.
Yes, that's right.
So,
and Ole Miss fans,
some things are really going our way this year.
You better believe it. So yeah, we're going to talk about our 83-77 victory over Ole Miss, the women's basketball team. Oh, right, we're going to preview the upcoming men's game against South Carolina, and also the women's team played against number 2 South Carolina and fell 57-51. We're going to talk about that as well. But let's go ahead and start with this game against Ole Miss. And Ethan, I want to address something.
Go ahead and address it.
You know what I don't like?
Ole Miss.
You know what I don't... You know, depending on... Well, you know what I hate more than Ole Miss?
Ole Miss fans.
Correct. Depending on the fan.
Yeah, there's some cool fans out there.
Yeah.
I mean, I follow a couple of them on Twitter. Some of the guys at Red Cup Rebellion are cool.
Yeah, and then there are some people on Twitter that I just want to talk about. I'm not going to name any names, but I just want to talk about some people.
Can I guess the names as you're talking about them? And if I'm right, you say yes.
You may. You know, the thing is, there are a lot of these people. They're sort of just in a big group, since a lot of these people, I don't even remember the names.
Okay.
But you can list some people.
I'll try. Let's, you know, see what happens.
Okay. Are you going to list them?
No, I was going to let you describe them, then I would guess.
Okay. So, yes, we just beat Ole Miss. Yes, Ole Miss had 3 of their starters gone, including their 2 leading scorers. Do I believe we would have lost without those 2 scorers and Stephon Moody and Sebastian Saiz? Yes, I do believe we would have lost. Ethan, you're breathing into your mic very heavily.
I'm not even near my mic.
Let me move back. Is it me?
No, like, I'm not even near my mic. My mic is 3 feet away from me.
Well, I keep hearing, there's like, breathe. Anyways. Yes, I do believe we would have lost against Ole Miss if Stephon Moody and Sebastian Saiz would have played. To these Ole Miss fans, not anyone in particular, just this group of people that's a good 70% of Ole Miss fans on Twitter right now, saying, laughing at us, saying, LOL. Now, this is actually quoting someone you may be able to guess. LOL at Mississippi State for only beating us by 6 with our B team. That's one tweet. It's
I saw that tweet. Who was that?
It was a website.
Oh, it was the magazine or whatever.
Yeah, I think it's a. I don't know if
it's
a
Spirit
magazine
or something like that.
I don't know, but it's brought to you by Oxford Exxon, the Oxford Crystal, and I think Canon Motors, and it's like all in one.
Oh, nice.
You can't, I mean, no one can beat a Cannondale. I mean, absolutely no one.
Especially Laramie Tunsil.
Indeed.
Yeah.
But anyways, these Ole Miss fans are, it's like they're bragging that they lost.
They are. They are essentially bragging that they lost.
And
they're,
you know,
bragging that they didn't have enough depth to beat one of the worst teams in the SEC. That's what they're bragging about.
The thing is, once again, I believe we would have lost without those three. You Ole Miss fans out there, and I know there's probably some listening.
Yeah.
Hello, by the way. Hello, Oxford, or wherever you are. You, those who are saying, hey, we had three starters gone, you know, that's, you know, I agree, we would have lost, but you know what? That's just how the cookie crumbled. Am I happy these players get injured? Of course I'm, of course not. I don't like it when players get injured. But you know what? That's how the cookie crumbled. They didn't play against Mississippi State, so suck it up and deal with it. I saw a tweet. This is a 100% actual tweet in response to a Red Cup Rebellion recap of the game, saying that we should put an asterisk by this game. No, you shouldn't. You lost. You lost without three starters. I understand that. You lost without your two leading scorers, but you know what? You lost the game. You lost, you lost, and you lost. All right? And also, I saw another Ole Miss fan. Now, you could probably be able to name this guy. I don't even remember exactly who he is, but he looks like Jesus. But anyways.
What?
Yeah, he has a long hair and a long beard. He looks like Jesus. And that's not, and that's not, and I'm not, and you know, you maybe say, oh, great, I'm happy to look like Jesus. This guy is nothing like Jesus. He just looks like him.
Who?
But anyways.
Did he tweet at both of us? Or?
He tweeted at me. This guy loves to look at random Mississippi State Twitter accounts. This guy doesn't follow me. I've never seen this guy's profile in my life, and all of a sudden I see him tweet me an excuse talking about, well, you know, we had three starters, and it's different that these excuses were set before the game. Well, a little bit later, I decided to go back to his... Yeah. A little bit later, I decided to go back to his profile and take a look at his tweets. One of the things he tweeted was, first of all, I believe it was the Alumni Association. The Alumni Association of the Bulldog Club tweeted a video of the student section throwing, you know, the glow sticks and going crazy after the win.
Yeah, it was majestic.
Yeah. The person, this Ole Miss fan, quoted it with laughing tears emojis, like he's making fun of us for cheering after a win. And then he said, LOL, I'd be turning up too if we finally won for the first time in 2 years. This guy is making fun of us.
Did he forget about the, you know, 2012 win, the football win, the Egg Bowl, where they stormed the field
after beating an 8-3 team?
Yeah. Did he forget about that?
Apparently, he probably didn't. I wouldn't be surprised if he wasn't even an Ole Miss fan back then. He probably became an Ole Miss fan this year.
I mean, honestly,
a lot of them are.
This stretch that. The streak that Ole Miss fans keep talking about, it's no different than the 3-year stretch where we won the Egg Bowl.
Very true.
So, yeah, they beat us and, you know, they swept us last year and so on and so forth. And I've seen the excuses, oh, well, you're only beating us in women's basketball, and women's basketball doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. We're still beating you. And the point is to make this streak out like it's some, huge deal. It's really no different than the 3-year stretch that they had when Dan Mullen was whipping them back and forth. So rivalries are cyclical, and it wouldn't surprise me if things started turning around real quick.
I'm going to talk about
basketball.
I'm going to talk a little bit. You mentioned women's basketball, and I'm glad you mentioned that because I'm going to talk about that too.
The fans that are saying that women's basketball doesn't matter.
As you know, Scott Strickland got into a skirmish on Twitter.
Yeah.
With this idiot
Ole Miss
fan.
Sawyer.
Yeah, whatever. The guy, he blocked me, I don't know.
He blocked.
But, so, this man, this guy, I don't know if he's a kid, I don't know if he's a guy, I don't know who he is, but he quoted Scott Strickland. Scott Strickland tweeted something along the lines of, "Thank you for making history at the hump." And it was in response to how the women's basketball game attracted over 10,000 people.
Yeah, like
this Ole Miss fan. This Ole Miss fan tweets, "History, ha! Your definition of history is beating your rival when they have three starters out." One, if this idiot would have actually just looked at the tweet, he would have noticed that there were it was a women's basketball game. And then, of course, Scott Strickland says, "It was a women's basketball game, not men's basketball game. I appreciate your concern with our program." And then this guy decides to respond, "When you're actually keeping track of women's basketball, it shows how awful you are." And by the way, he misspelled awful. He spelled it with two L's. But you know what's hilarious about this? This person tweeted Scott Strickland making fun of him for keeping up with women's basketball. I don't know if he knows what the position of athletic director is.
Yeah.
But athletic director is when you manage and you are the director of athletics. And you know what athletics is? Every single sport Mississippi State plays. Mississippi State does not just play football, baseball, and men's basketball. There are other sports too. So, you know what? I can't wait until someone, I should go over to Ross Bjork whenever, I should go back to when he tweeted, I'm sure he tweeted when Ole Miss beat number 10 Kentucky in women's basketball the other day.
Yeah.
Apparently their program is so awful with two L's that they keep up with women, that their athletic director keeps up with women's basketball. What a crappy program. People are pathetic. Ole Miss is pathetic. I don't like you, Ole Miss fans. That's all I'm going to say, unless you would like to give your two cents, Ethan.
I mean, there's these fringe fans on Twitter. Every fan base has them. This guy that we're talking about, you know, is the perfect example of one, because he's also been spreading rumor that Scott Strickland cussed at a kid at an Auburn football game.
And then he blocked me when I asked him for proof of the situation.
Well, I mean, it just, you know, then there's also the Ole Miss fans that I was just mentioning saying that women's basketball doesn't matter. Only, this isn't the same guy, but saw someone essentially tweet that the only people that care about women's basketball are the players and their families.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So these fringe fans out here are just, because we know there are some cool Ole Miss fans. We have had conversations with them before.
There's probably about, I'd say about 8% of the fan base. Yeah.
Yeah. It's just, okay, so maybe they're the fringe fans when it comes to Ole Miss. I don't know. But it's just, some people just shouldn't tweet. Just accept the loss. And we've seen several fans just, you know, okay, we lost, yes. Just accept that you were not the better team on Saturday. And that's my, you know, two cents there. That's all I have to add.
Even the Ole Miss Twitter account threw in an excuse.
Yes.
When they said they lost.
Yes, they did.
They said something. I'm going to try to find that tweet right now, but they threw in an excuse when they tweeted about their loss. I can find it here.
Ole Miss basketball.
Here
I got it
is.
Oh, you got it?
I got it. Ole Miss down three starters, falls 83-77 on the road at MSU.
Yeah.
I don't like them.
I mean, we have some complaints about a few things that our athletic department does here and there. You hate Adidas and such. You hate.
No, I don't hate Adidas. No, the thing is, I hate their. I love their polos and their jackets because I own plenty, and I love their visors too. I just hate almost every single uniform and warm up shirt and cleat and everything else they do. They produce.
Okay, there's one warm up shirt that everybody kind of loved.
I mean, that was kind of funny. I mean, it was ugly. It was one of the most disgusting things I've ever seen in my life. But it was funny.
I would have bought seven of those.
I'm sure every single member of the MSU Mafia would have bought
Of course.
They would invest their life savings. They would invest their children's college funds to get one.
I would buy one for every day of the week.
So
I would
seven.
Wear it every day of the week.
But if and I, you would the, put a little tag that said Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, blah, blah, blah.
If, you know, if there was nothing else to wear, there would be potential that I would wear that. And I am proud to say that.
Yeah, Ethan, we're going to discuss your Ole Miss hate later in the show in the questions segment. But yeah, let's get to the topic at hand. Mississippi State beat Ole Miss 83-77. Once again, Ole Miss down three starters. I think his name is Octavius Newby, something Newby.
Yeah.
Stephon Moody and Sebastian Saiz did not play. But this was a game where it was sort of, I mean, it was served up to Mississippi State on a silver platter. It was just, we just have to take advantage. There has not been a situation like this where we actually could have truthfully gone into the game with confidence that we could have won.
Yeah.
And this is a game where the experienced players, they did their part, but they didn't contribute a whole bunch. This game was dominated by the two freshmen, Quindary Weatherspoon and Malik Newman. Quindary Weatherspoon went off in the first half, I believe 16 points in the first half, and yeah. Malik Newman had his best performance of the year, particularly in the second half, absolutely going off.
20 of his 25 points in the second half?
In the second half, and pretty much ultimately bleeding Mississippi State. If it weren't for Malik Newman, Mississippi State would not have won this basketball game. But this is a game for Mississippi State where we shot absolutely lights out. 51.9% from the field, 50% from three.
Yeah.
And this is a team from three that attempted 24 three-pointers, and we made half of them. This is a team that shot 54 shots in the game. It made 52% of them. So, and also from the free throw line, 17 free throws, 15 made for 88.2%. Everything went right. With the exception of the defense, we lacked on defense a little bit, but offensively, everything went right for Mississippi State.
Yeah, Craig Sward and IJ Reddy just got into foul trouble late with playing defense and such. But man, I don't think enough can be said about Malik's second half because, it really kind of started late in the second half with that technical when he got teed up in the skirmish, more or less.
That's sort of pretty much just lit a fire under him.
Yeah. That's when, you know, he was doing, pretty well before that, but after that, he could not miss. You know, Gavin Ware had a nice game, 14 points, 6 rebounds. Wish he would have done a little bit better because Ole Miss is not a big imposing team and their leading rebounder was out, but, you know, it is what it is. That's roughly what he's given you in SEC games. The other guys around him just have to step up. And, you know, you had guys like Malik Newman, you had Quindary Weatherspoon come out and they really stepped up in this game. And this is the last, you know, 12 minutes of the game, that is the Malik Newman we were promised this entire season.
Yeah, that's what we were expecting.
If he plays like that, do you think we have 2 or 3 more wins?
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. We would have, I can name two right now, Southern University and Missouri, Kansas City in the non-conference.
Yeah.
Texas Tech in the non-conference.
Yep.
Florida. You could, with the exception of Arkansas, you could probably list every single SEC game.
A&M, Kentucky, yeah. Tennessee.
What am I saying? Yeah.
Yeah.
Tennessee in particular, because that was one of the worst performances I've ever seen from a player that Malik Newman had in that one.
3, 4, 5, 6, 7 more wins. Realistically, that you could say that this team would have.
Yeah.
We would be 15-3.
It's not bad.
Oh man, could you imagine being 15-3 right now?
Yeah, no, actually, I couldn't imagine it.
That's so frustrating that we're not there.
But, yeah, I guess you could say that.
Anyway,
yeah,
the team played well as a whole, I thought. You didn't have great performances from IJ Reddy or, you know, nothing lights out from Craig Sword. And then the defense giving up as many three-pointers as they did, that's still a problem.
Uh-huh. Yeah. They, let me see. Rashid
Brooks.
Yeah, Rashid Brooks. That was one of...
Anthony Perez, 3 of 3. So...
I mean, Rashid Brooks was the player that, before the game, pretty much was going to be given the offensive load for Ole Miss. That was going to be the player they were looking for to fill the void for Stephon Moody and Sebastian Saiz as much as he possibly could. And he had the best game of the year, at least, with 20 points going 8 of 15 from the field and 4 of 7 from 3. Other good games from something... Fitzpatrick Dorsey, don't remember his first name,
Fitzpatrick Dorsey.
With 16 points, and Anthony Perez with 14, and also, let me see, who is this guy? Sam Finley with 10 points. Yeah.
But so, what's frustrating is, you know, 6, 6, 5, that's 17 points that were all free throws from those guys.
Yeah.
Fine. That's a little frustrating to me.
But
they had 23 free throw attempts.
But another thing in this, in the first half in particular, is that Mississippi State really couldn't stop turning the ball over. And that's ultimately what kept Ole Miss in this game. I'm not sure of the exact number of turnovers Mississippi State and Ole Miss had in the first half, but Ole Miss outscored Mississippi State in points off turnovers 14-6. So that's pretty much, I mean, that's a 8-point swing. If the points off turnovers in the first half would have been equal, Mississippi State would have gone into halftime with a 6-point lead. So the points off turnovers ultimately is what kept Mississippi kept Mississippi in the game. And in that first half.
Yeah.
And Ole Miss also, offensive rebounds were a bit of a struggle. I don't think it was, looking back at just looking at the stats, it wasn't as severe as it seemed in the game. Mississippi State actually outscoring Ole Miss on second chance points 8-7. Which is kind of surprising, remembering what happened in that game. But another thing for Mississippi State really quickly is that we improved in the second half on those turnovers, going from 14-6 in Ole Miss's favor in the first half of points off turnovers, to Mississippi State outscoring Ole Miss in points off turnovers in the second half 8-4, which ultimately had Ole Miss with an 18-14 advantage for the entire game, which is not that bad of a disadvantage for Mississippi State. Another area where Ole Miss they outscored us by 10 and points in the paint in the second half, they were able to adjust because Mississippi State outscored Ole Miss by 10 in the first half in points in the paint, and then Ole Miss ultimately outscored us by 10 in the second half in points in the paint, so they were able to adjust. But yeah.
It was a good game.
It was a good game.
And they improved as a team. They really improved as the game went on, outside of Quindary Weatherspoon not really doing much in the second half. Malik Newman kind of took over, but just as a whole,
kind of.
I mean, he was 7 of 10 from 3-point range. This is the best game of his career.
Oh, without a doubt. Without a doubt, there's no questioning it. But the thing
he was one criticism of Malik's game is he was 7 of 10 from 3-point range. He was 8 of 16 as a whole, so that means he was 1 of 6 not from behind the arc. That's kind of odd to me. I don't know if he was just taking dumb shots, which we've seen him do this year.
Yeah.
Some ill-advised, you know, layups and traffic. I don't know what happened specifically on those 5 missed shots, but him making at a higher rate from beyond the arc than inside the arc is a little odd to me.
Uh-huh.
So that would probably be the one criticism that you could make of Malik Newman's game.
So. But looking long term,
yeah,
this win gives Mississippi State the fan base, the team this season, the fan base and the pro and the athletic program as a whole. As a whole, we can breathe. To quote Brian Haydon on the B&B show, we can breathe. And that, you know, we finally, for the fan base and the program, we finally beaten Ole Miss. And it gives us some more confidence and some more life in this athletic rivalry. And for the basketball team, I said it on the last show that I expected around 8,000 people to show up. It ended up being over 9,000. Here we go, Ethan. Ethan, I have to.
Okay.
I have to, Ethan.
We did it before, and then it crashed, and yeah.
I hope it does. I hope the show doesn't crash. It shouldn't. But let's find. Here it is. Here we go.
Vegeta, what does the scouter say about his power level? It's over 9,000. What, 9,000? There's no way that could be right.
You know, I expected 8,000 people in the hump on Saturday, and I found out that there was over 9,000, and I didn't think that that could be right, so hey. But anyways, I expected...
I will definitely say that it was louder than anything I've seen in that building before.
Well, you haven't seen much in that building, Ethan.
It was an environment that had to have helped the players, because the crowd only got bigger as the game went on, because a lot of people weren't there early on. You could see it in my tweets. People showed up right as the game started, and then, you know, I had people next to me show up at halftime. So, you know, the crowd grew. And it definitely was an imposing atmosphere.
But on the last show, I expected at least 8,000 people to show up. And I said that in terms of fan support and just the overall confidence of this team, this is the biggest game of the year.
Yeah.
I mean, it normally is the biggest game of the year, just since it's Ole Miss.
Yeah.
But now, even knowing how the season had gone up to this point, the pressure was on the team ultimately to continue to just get a spark of a little bit of momentum, a little bit of confidence, and I said, if we lose this game, don't expect a crowd at the hump with more than 3,000 people there. Excuse me. So for this team, and for this fan, and for this team, it gives a spark of momentum, thinking, hey, we can actually beat. I mean, they may have been injured, they may have been down, but we can still beat SEC teams. And for the fans, we're thinking, we just beat Ole Miss once again. May have been down, may have lost, may not have had their three starters, but still, we have reason to continue to attend this team's games. And looking forward on the SEC schedule,
do we just want to predict the next few games, just to predict them?
There are a couple of games in this schedule that we could win. We can win in Columbia, Missouri. We can beat Alabama in Starkville on Tuesday. That is going to be a game that, for a Tuesday night, should probably get at least 7,000 people.
Georgia, because we should beat?
Because, you know, one second.
Oh,
because
okay.
Alabama and Mississippi State, Ethan, that's a basketball rivalry.
Yes.
Back in the early mid 2000s, back when the SEC basketball was divided into divisions, it was normally Alabama or Mississippi State for the SEC West crown.
Yeah.
That Mississippi State and Alabama dominated the SEC West with Mark Gottfried and Rick Stansberry for a very long time. This is an Alabama and Mississippi State's a rivalry. I expect about 7,000 people there. We can beat Arkansas in Starkville. It'll be difficult knowing their 3-point shooting, but in my opinion, we can beat them. We can beat Georgia.
Georgia.
We can beat Vanderbilt. We can. I don't know. I'm not confident, but we can.
I mean, they're about the same as Georgia.
Those are three consecutive home games right there. Arkansas, Georgia, and Vanderbilt. That'll be really huge for this team and for the fan support as in general. particularly the game on Saturday, February 13th against Georgia. We saw it last year, the game against Georgia and Starkville on a Saturday had a good crowd. I expect the same here. I expect at least 7,000 people for the next four home games. Simply depending because of this win against Ole Miss.
Depending on how this stretch goes, you know, if we can, for whatever reason, pull off an upset in Columbia, Missouri.
Yeah.
I don't
Columbia,
see that
South
happening.
Carolina?
If we can somehow beat South Carolina and go on a stretch here, I don't expect us to beat LSU. I don't expect us to beat A&M. Don't expect us to beat Ole Miss at
Oxford,
Miss.
I agree with that.
But if you can finish this stretch winning more games than you lose, say we beat Auburn, say we beat South Carolina at home, say we beat Vanderbilt, Georgia, Arkansas, Alabama, Missouri. That's what, 7 wins there?
Yeah, something like that. That would be what, a 7 and
we'd finish over 500
in the SEC. How many SEC games do we play?
I don't know, but no, I think whole record wise we'd finish over 500.
Oh well, then yeah. If well, I mean, let's see how we've got 13 games left. We are currently 8-10. So that would be 7-8, so we wouldn't quite be over 500.
7-6.
Oh, well, for, I mean, for the remainder of the... So we would be, what, 15-16, and then the SEC tournament starts?
Yeah.
So we would have to win a couple games in the SEC tournament.
Which, you know, if we can hit a hot streak here, it's not impossible.
But the thing is, even if we finish a game or two under 500...
That is still
a drastic improvement from the last 3 years.
Yeah. I've said it before that is something I'd be happy with. You know, getting the win over Ole Miss was on my checklist of, you know, make this season better. You know, getting a win in the SEC tournament somehow would make this season better. And then, you know, if you could somehow get Gavin Ware in the second round, get him into the second round of the NBA draft, this season's a success for me.
If we actually do end up getting on a bit of a run, I mean, it doesn't have to be a really big run. It can be a 6-7 run, a 7-6 run. It's better than what we've been doing. Imagine the confidence going into next season for guys like Quindary Weatherspoon, IJ Reddy, and Eric Holman. It would be huge.
Hypothetical for you.
Don't say if Malik Newman comes back.
No.
If you were, you could shut it down.
It's more of a question. It's a question.
Is it about Malik Newman coming back?
No.
Okay,
good. It has nothing to do with Malik Newman just whatsoever, because if we go on this hot streak, it's because he's playing well.
Yeah.
Which would be bigger for the program? An upset at number 5 A&M or an upset in the Pavilion? Both are later in the season. Which would be bigger?
I personally, Ole Miss.
You think so?
Yeah. Because the thing is, a win over a top 10, 5, whatever, by that time, team is huge for the program as a whole.
Yeah.
But a win over Ole Miss gives... Because the thing is, Ethan... Ethan, time out. Just use this as an example. Had we beaten Ole Miss in football this year...
Yeah.
Would we be expecting, because we both expect that by the time I'm in college, Dan Mullen will not be the head coach of Mississippi State anymore. Had we beaten Ole Miss this year, do you think we would be thinking that?
No.
Exactly. Well, the Ole Miss game in every single sport matters most. And that's why I say that beating Ole Miss on the road is bigger than beating A&M on the road.
Okay.
So, yeah. So, we've talked about basketball for over 30 minutes. So if you still want to briefly talk about South Carolina.
Let's talk about the women's game just real quick.
Okay. Mississippi State, two games were played. We lost to Georgia 47-43 in a game that was miserable to watch. I watched that. It was a game Mississippi State couldn't hit a shot to save their lives. Disappointing
loss.
The
South Carolina game was just like
Not nearly as bad.
Especially in the first half. The first half was awful.
But did you go to that game?
No, I wasn't able to make it.
Oh, that's unfortunate.
Yeah. Because it was like a top four crowd and Hump.
It was the fourth biggest crowd in the history of Humphrey Coliseum.
Yeah, that's insane.
And Humphrey Coliseum's been open now for over 40 years.
What's the capacity on that? 12,000?
No, it's about, I think it's 10,500.
Okay.
Because it's possible to get over capacity on that,
yeah,
that
stadium.
I think it's 10,500. But anyways, Mississippi State, and then the bigger game we're going to talk about, fell 57-51 to South Carolina. This is a game where I'm still disappointed that we lost, but at the same time, I'm not as disappointed as I could be. Because I expected at least a 15-point loss, seeing how South Carolina's been playing throughout this year. And especially after the game against Georgia. But once again, Mississippi State is not an offensive juggernaut by any stretch of the imagination. We shot 27% from the field and 23% from three-point arc. Ultimately, in this game, I hate to say it, but really the only reason why we were in this game is because South Carolina shot the... It's like they wanted us to win. They turned the ball over 21 times.
Yeah.
21 times in this game. Yep. And if I can possibly find points off turnovers here, that'd be very much appreciated. Let's see if I can find
which, it. You know, you say this Mississippi State women's team is not an offensive juggernaut. They've really been, prior to the Georgia game, they've been scoring fairly high throughout the season. You know, a lot of games in the 70s, a couple games in the 90s here. 80s, early in the season, they were scoring in the hundreds. So this is a team that really kind of needs to find a way to get back to scoring more.
I'm going to go on the South Carolina women's basketball scale. I'm very fascinated to see the points off turnovers, and it's not showing up on the Mississippi State stats.
They had 21 turnovers.
Yeah, but I'm trying to find points off turnovers because that can be a huge difference.
Can't really tell you.
Well, I know you can't.
Yeah.
Just trying to find stats.
They out-rebounded us, which is odd.
The South Carolina website doesn't have it either. Oh, never mind. Here we go. Here it is. Mississippi State outscored South Carolina in points off turnovers 13-4.
Yeah.
So, yeah. A big problem here for Mississippi State is that we were outscored in the paint by 18. 28-10.
Yep.
That was a problem. Other than that, there really wasn't a drastic stat that really stood out in particular that differed.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but it really feels like this women's basketball team plays to the level of their opponents, especially as of late. Because we've seen them go toe-to-toe with Texas.
I don't know. I think Texas is still undefeated. I don't know if that's true or not.
I don't think so.
Or do you not?
I just don't know. I don't think they are. They got a good win over an SMU team. They went toe to toe with Southern Florida. They beat Florida.
They
beat Southern Florida
by 10.
South Florida.
Texas is 18-1, and their only loss is to Baylor, and you know that Baylor is normally a really good basketball program.
Yes.
I mean, they've gotten players like Brittany Griner on their team back in the day. So
we lost on the road to Missouri, but it feels like, as of late...
A ranked team.
Yeah, they're 24. So this game against Tennessee coming up is going to be a big game. This team... The women's team needs to find a way to get back on their feet because SEC play has not been kind to them.
No.
Outside of the huge win over Ole Miss and Arkansas, the huge wins there, SEC play hasn't really been that great. So finding a way to get back on a roll, because this is a team that could realistically compete, get into the Final Four. They just need to find a way to win.
The good thing about Mississippi State schedule-wise after the Tennessee game, it's their road games, but we go to Arkansas and LSU, who are both pretty bad teams.
Yeah.
So, Arkansas in particular. So, even if we fall to Tennessee, we could still be two games over 500 before a stretch that is an absolute juggernaut, a stretch of Missouri, Texas A&M, and Kentucky. Missouri's ranked, I know that Texas A&M's ranked, and I think Kentucky's in the top 10, and I believe they beat Tennessee tonight. As
A&M is top 10, Kentucky is 12 right now.
Yeah, they just beat, and Kentucky just beat Tennessee.
Kentucky's going to move up.
And it's kind of interesting, because that means Tennessee, oh, never mind, I thought the Tennessee game was on Tuesday, my bad, it's on Thursday, but that means Tennessee will play two games on weekdays.
Oof.
Two games this week against two ranked teams.
Yeah.
So
that's
it'll be fun, that Tennessee game. I could see that Tennessee game having 7,000 people in the hump as well.
Would not surprise me.
So, yeah, and that would probably be the third or fourth biggest crowd in the hump's history. Possibly could break that Ole Miss game from last year to finish second. So,
yeah.
Should be interesting. So, yeah, I think that's just about it.
Preview the South Carolina game any, or do you want
to we can breeze over that for a second.
Okay.
We travel to South Carolina. This is a team that, of course, famous for 18-0?
Something like that. A huge winning stretch. Undefeated.
They went on a stretch of wins against, with the exception of Clemson,
not good teams.
And this is a team that is not based off of talent. It's based off experience. This is just a team that can play within the. They can play as a whole. They can play as a team. They float. It's not like Mississippi State in the Sansbury era was based off of talent, but they didn't play well as a team.
Yeah.
South Carolina doesn't have talent, but they can play well as a team, which is ultimately why they are currently. I don't know their exact
17-2. They went on a 15-game undefeated win streak before losing to Alabama by 23.
Alabama, and then they lost to Tennessee. So the thing is, if it weren't for that injury for Stephon Moody, they would have lost to Ole Miss.
Yeah.
So this is a team that is beatable. This is a team that's a good team, but they are beatable. The problem is for South Carolina is they score. They average 77 points per game and they shoot 44.1% from the field.
Yeah.
And knowing Mississippi State struggles defensively, this could be a game where South Carolina can put possibly 100 points on us. Possibly.
How many, because we played this game a little bit, just texting back and forth, talking about the next Ole Miss game. How many points do Quindary Weatherspoon and Malik Newman have to combine for us to win this game, do you think?
You say 70. I said 70.
I said 70 for the Ole Miss game, just based off pure math.
The South Carolina game?
Yeah, for the South Carolina game. How many do you think?
I think I'm going to go with 50, because I think that South Carolina, since it's a consistent trend at this point, I think that or maybe 45 to 50. I think it's a consistent trend at this point that it's a safe bet to predict any of our opponents scoring anywhere from 75 to 85 points. It's safe to say that. I think that South Carolina will probably score around
about 50.
I think that South Carolina is probably going to put about 80 up, 80, 81, 82, somewhere in that range.
Yeah.
So I think if Quindary Weatherspoon and Malik Newman can combine for, let's say, 45 to 50 points, let's say Gavin Ware can put 15 up, let's say that Craig Sword can put 10, that's a win.
Yeah. Gavin Ware has to be the third leading scorer for this team.
Gavin Ware, Malik Newman, and Quindary Weatherspoon are going to have to put up points.
Mm-hmm.
And there will have to be some, also in addition to those three, some additional supporting help from guys like Craig Sword, and maybe IJ Reddy or Fred Thomas. I don't know.
Johnny Sefardo's played well here and there in spots. It'd be nice to see him hit more consistently.
Uh-huh.
Because he's taken some shots where he's been wide open. He just, he and Fred Thomas both have good shooting motions set up perfectly to make shots. They're just not making them. So if they can make a couple more shots. You know, IJ Reddy made, you know, had he made a couple more shots against Ole Miss, you know, if these guys can help support at this point in the season, because we saw Justin Strawn, he wrote an article saying it's basically time to hand the team over to the freshmen.
Yeah.
I don't know if I completely agree to that, because you still need Gavin Ware as your leading rebounder. He's been the leading scorer throughout the season. You still need his presence there because Eric Coleman is not 100%. But it's time for him to be the third leading scorer. You need, here on out, for us to go on this hot streak we've been talking about, we need Malik Newman and Quindary Weatherspoon to play lights out.
Another problem for Mississippi State is that South Carolina is a good defensive team. They are giving up 67.6 points per game and 38.8% from the field. So they're outscoring their opponents on an average of 10.3, by an average of 10 points.
Yeah.
So, you know, once again, South Carolina is beatable.
It's just going to be difficult.
They haven't lost at home. Their only losses are at Tennessee and at Alabama, and they could have lost at Ole Miss, really should have lost at Ole Miss. And another game where they struggled was at Clemson, and they beat one by six. So this is a team that doesn't perform particularly well on the road and obviously performs a lot better at home, and that's a problem. So, and this is a Mississippi State team that, under the Rick Ray era and this year as well, doesn't play well on the road.
Yeah.
So, or at least cannot get wins on the road. They can play well. We played well against Kentucky, but really just can't close it out.
Yeah.
So, prediction time. Ethan, you can go first if you'd like.
South Carolina, 88, State, probably around 80. Somewhere between 74 and 80, just depending on who shows up.
I'm going to say South Carolina 84, Mississippi State 71.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, I think it'll end up being sort of similar to the Arkansas game where we get close, but it ends up being stretched out.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that'll do it for that. And we got some questions. First time in a little bit that we've gotten questions from Mr. Vanderlip.
Yeah.
At KT Vanderlip on Twitter, the large dog trademark. We have four questions. Number one, is the men's basketball team figuring it out, or is that just the one game blip on the winning radar?
I think
it's hard to predict at this point.
You know, a couple of seasons ago, maybe 2 years ago, I would say this is a one game blip. Looking back on the Rick Ray era, there were a couple of he won a couple of games against Ole Miss, but it always just ended up being fool's gold. He could never carry that momentum. There were a couple, you know, huge win streaks to start seasons and never could carry that momentum. So it's hard to say right now. I think we'll know more after, you know, let's look back at the schedule. I think after the Georgia game or the Vanderbilt game, we'll have a better, you know, let's give it five games, and then we can pretty much predict how the rest of the season's going to go.
Yeah. I mean, I've mentioned that it's a good confidence builder. I can't necessarily guarantee if we're going to be able to win games. I can't guarantee it.
Yeah.
But it can certainly give us some confidence because it's a win, and it's particularly a win over Ole Miss. Number two, if the women's basketball team continues playing like they are, how many NCAA games will they get to host
is it too early to tell? Is it too early?
I think we'll host. Last year we didn't host with five losses with six losses and a pretty weak record, or a pretty weak schedule. This year, we've played teams like Texas, SMU, and USF non-conference, and then, of course, obviously played the SEC schedule. I think we can host with about maybe five or six losses. And we have currently, what,
three?
Four?
Four?
Three losses?
I don't know.
I think we have four. We have four losses.
Okay.
So I think, with maybe about six or seven losses, I think we could host, because I think Duke last year had a worse record, but still hosted.
Yeah.
So
it just depends on, you know, the end of the season, but just who the wins are, who the losses are. It's, for some reason, as a Mississippi State fan base, we like asking, what are our chances of hosting things?
Just, at Kendall Rogers.
I'd love to see just a whole bunch of women's basketball fans just tweeting Kendall Rogers about their chances of hosting. That'd be the greatest thing ever.
I think we should do it.
Oh, man.
But yeah, if you're done with that question number three.
Yeah.
Any idea how many quarterbacks are on each team in the Senior Bowl? I know that Dak and Jake Coker are playing in the Senior Bowl. I don't know about anyone else.
Yeah, I have no clue.
Yeah, I don't know. I haven't looked at any of the rosters. I don't even know where the when the I could probably look it up for you. Let's see. Senior Bowl rosters. I see someone from San Diego State in the picture. If it loads. Okay, this is frustrating.
We can tweet it out.
No, I got it.
You got it?
Let's see, quarterbacks. Brandon Allen of Arkansas.
Not surprising, given his...
Jacoby Brissett of North Carolina State.
Also not surprising.
Jake Coker of Alabama.
Yep.
Jeff Driscoll of Louisiana Tech.
I've seen some high draft grades on him. Some high
Kevin Hogan of Stanford.
Also not surprising, he's a stud.
Cody Kessler of USC.
Also talented.
QB.
You had a good crop there so far.
QB. Dak Prescott of Mississippi State.
Yep.
Let's see if they're new. Carson Wentz of North Dakota State.
Yep.
And that's it. So, I don't know.
What was that, eight or something like that?
One, two. Well, let me do this. This will make it easier. That is eight. So, that'll be four per team.
Cool.
There's your answer. Next final question. This is for you, Ethan.
Yep.
For Ethan, his...
Is. I think it was supposed to be is.
Oh, yeah, I guess.
It's a typo.
Is Ole Miss extending their lead as the number one team on your not very fond of list?
The fans are. The fans are doing what they can. The Twitter fringe especially. Spreading rumors about, you know, unfounded rumors about Scott Strickland just kind of seems ridiculous to me.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, losing to A&M the way we did in basketball didn't help things for Ole Miss's cause there.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I just haven't really evaluated it yet. I've let the... It really concentrates mostly around football and baseball.
Ethan, you know who's on one of the senior bowl roster?
Who?
Everybody's favorite offensive lineman, Sebastian Tratola.
There we go. So to answer the question, I think it's staying the same. Just roughly, you know, they're still number one, but it's kind of still, you know, they haven't jumped out to a huge lead yet.
There is a player who's playing in the Senior Bowl from William & Mary named DeAndre Houston Carson.
So that's all the questions we have for Daniel
I'm
Black.
I'm looking up names. There's nothing
thank you for
really
listening.
Else. There's a player from Iowa. There's an offensive player from Iowa. Did we end the show?
Yes.
Did you end it?
Okay. I just said goodbye, everybody, like twice, three times now.
There's a player from Western Michigan named Willie Beavers.
Did you stop recording yet?
No.